We're doing the Sefer HaMidot, and the Magid Midovna had discussed who should we trust, who shouldn't we trust. And he said, sometimes someone tells you something and he was fooled. Sometimes he's lying. Vegam biyotam daber, we're in the middle of page Kufchet, the middle of the middle paragraph. Vegam biyotam daber ishrui la'amin bidvarav, and even if the guy who's talking to you is someone who it would make sense to trust what he says, od yesh listapek, you still have to wonder, ulai achar yitpardo meimach, maybe after he left you, nitcharet al chalomotav al dvarav. He himself regretted what he said, what he envisioned. V'nitvanai lav tauto, maybe he realized his mistake. You know, so someone says something with great confidence, but then at some point he says, wait a second, I got that wrong. V'chasher yizdamen lefanecha ish yichye elef shanim pa'amayim. You know, if you meet someone who lives 1,000 years twice, and he says something, he sees something as a lad, and for 2,000 years he holds on to that same philosophy, and he sees it, and he defines it, and then you could trust him, you ain't going to find anyone like that, right? So, notice, he says, who is more trustworthy than our holy Torah? It's been thousands of years. You have many wise men, people who understand, and they stick to it. For thousands of years, no one's come up with a, hey, they got that wrong, with a claim that suddenly should really knock us off our feet. Thousands of years, people have been searching, smart people, questioning, writing books. Yom li yom yabi omer yichavu dat. Day after day, they keep teaching, they keep giving over the understanding. V'gam bimatzev divrem zal inyanim nirim kirchokim. And even if you find things in Chazal that seem foreign, abiv diruyim la'amin, that seem like you shouldn't believe that, yizkon av yasim elev, a person has to remember and notice, mivamim amidei hadat. Who's the one who's saying this? Where is it coming from? You're talking about people of spirit, people who understand the secrets of God. These are people who know more than us. So sometimes they're going to say things that are beyond us. Then when a person is analyzed and come to that realization that this is something that's fit to trust, and he's pointing out the point of trust. He's saying, as far as you're going to go, there's a limit to how much you could know. At some point in everything you do, there's an element of trust. Well, analyze it. Who should you trust in this world? And after you've analyzed it and realized that logic dictates that this is something worth trusting, and again, this is a very delicate balance. How far can I understand and know? And at what point do I have to trust? So he kept saying, you know, we had 18 chapters now describing how much you should know and understand. And then he reaches this chapter where he says, well, you know what, at some point, you're not going to be able to understand everything. At some point, you do have to trust. So he says, okay, well, logic dictates this is something worth trusting. And then that's why there's a sachar for trust. When we say that God repays a person for his trust, we're not talking about being a fool and just trusting. We're talking about understanding as far as you can understand. And then there's the realization, okay, there are things that I don't understand. There are things that are beyond me. But if I've reached this point, and then I'm willing to trust, okay, then that's a logical trust. That's a trust that Hashem will give sachal for. Kmo shetireh b'Avraham Avinu alav shalom. As we find with regards to Avram, our forefather, peace be upon him, asher ikar ma'alato ha'yatzlo yitbarach b'avur asrei nisyonot, that Avram's great level before God was that he stood up to the 10 tests. Because for simple things, well then, he deserves wages for that before Hashem appears to him, and before God appeared to him. But after God himself talks to Avram, shouldn't he have believed? Meaning, why can Avram continue getting schar, and why can we consistently admire Avram if God spoke to him? I understand that until he was 52, God never spoke to him. He had to stand against the world saying there is a God. He had to stand up to all the challenges of everyone challenging him. Fine. But from age 52 onward, what's the big deal? God told him. God spoke to him. So what's to admire about Avram? Shouldn't he have believed? So that's why he had to have tests. That's why the greatness of Avram from that point onward was the fact that things didn't work. God said one way and it seemed to work out the other way. God says, go to Canaan, things will be good, you'll be wealthy, and he turns poor. God says things will be good and there's a famine. God says things will be good and his wife is abducted. God tells him it'll be a great nation, and the source of that great nation, his very wife, is taken from him. That's a test. Now Avram has the challenge, but I don't understand. And he does not understand. So in order for Avram to continue growing after God has spoken to him, God has to put him in situations that are difficult, and he has to stand up to them. By the same token, after a person has come to this realization, he encounters a mitzvah, something that doesn't jive with him. I could do all the mitzvahs if I could start my day at 10:30. But if I have to get up and say Shema within first three hours of the day, that's not for me. Some things the doctors will tell you not to do. You know, I could do all the mitzvahs, but fasting a whole 24-hour period, Yom Kippur? That's not for me. Or the other guy's going to say, eating three meals on a Shabbos? I can't eat so much. Mlava Malka, what are you talking about? Who can eat a Mlava Malka? Comes the Torah and says, no, so figure out how to do it. So that's when you have to trust the Torah and do it. Not do it as a stupid person, do it as an intelligent person. Don't do it in a way that's harmful to your health. Figure out a way that works with you. Rashi writes, sometimes they'd eat a little less in the morning meal of Shabbos, on a winter Shabbos, so they'd have room to eat Shabbos Sudas. You eat a big fat meal till 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then 3:30, 4 o'clock, you got to eat another meal. That's going to be tough. So you take that into account. You find ways of doing it. Because in truth, the Torah is life for those who find it. And the Torah itself heals a person. The Torah is a balm for a person's strength, a person's chi, as they'd say in martial arts. Ki hi im kol ha'ashpot v'chol ha'tovot. I purposely said that because sharecha really comes from the word sharar, which really is the navel, which is what we call the belly button, right? So the pasuk is indicating that the Torah is a balm, it's a healing for the navel. Why do I need a healing for my navel? The idea is that that's the center of a person's strengths. In martial arts, they identify it, they call it the chi. That the center of energy is here, right under the navel. So in Chazal, they called it sharecha in the pasuk in Mishlei, and that's the blessing we make in the morning, Ozer Yisrael Bigvura. Kihi em kol ha'ashpot v'chol ha'tovot. Because the Torah is really the mother of all influences and all that is good. And we're left with a Emil Shem. It'll take us one or two more times to finish this chapter. Bezrat Shem, next time.